More on these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, North State. This is Rich Novelli, your host of Wellgate Wellness, and we are thrilled to be with you again on another Saturday. There's a lot happening today. We're going to pick up. We had a show recently where we were talking about the myths of health and fitness. An article came out recently that talked about how to lose weight forever. And so we've got with us a panel of experts that are going to either debunk some of these, certainly give us their opinions, and talk about some of these fitness myths or facts. So I'm thrilled to introduce this morning, again, we have Zeb Young, who is the fitness director at Wellgate Sports Club. He's got 25 years under his belt training individuals and groups. He is ISSA certified. He's got an expert rating in Pilates. And we're thrilled to have you here this morning, Zeb. Good morning.
Good morning.
We also have Aaron Hunter. Aaron is 4 years as a personal trainer. And also ACSM certified. ACSM is one of the top certifications in the country in our industry. He is a strong first kettlebell and TRX certified. And he has an exercise medicine level 1 rating through, as I said, the American College of Sports Medicine. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Doing excellent, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And Jamie, Hannah, are you with us here?
I am.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good morning. So Jamie has been involved in the health and fitness industry for over 30 years. She is ACE certified, American Council on Exercise. She is also an ACE certified fitness nutrition specialist, certified functional aging specialist through the Functional Aging Institute. She holds a degree in health, fitness, and education and leadership with a minor in psychology. So Jamie is going to join our panel today, and we're going to just have some fun with this. So, you know, this article came out talking about different ways to lose weight forever. And on one of our previous shows, we covered just a few of them because there's just a bunch of these here. So we're going to throw these out to the panel and just have some fun with them and talk a little bit about whether they believe these statements are myths or are they fact, and what they believe. So to just jump right in on this, the first one.
Can I ask a question really quickly?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Who put this article out? Who was the?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. And you know what? I don't have it here.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't have it here, Jamie.
Okay, sorry.
But it came out recently. And I found this on the internet, as I always am perusing, looking for new fitness and wellness tips here. So, but I will find that out.
Okay, wonderful.
Thanks for stumping me right here first thing in the morning. Appreciate that. All right.
Pay me back.
I will. So the first one is drink black coffee. So the statement is your morning Java jolt doesn't just wake you up. Having a cup of coffee may also jumpstart your metabolism by 12% for 3 hours, according to a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Just don't overdo it. Expert recommends no more than 3 cups of coffee a day for the average. This says woman, but I would imagine that it's probably the same for men. So what do you guys think about this? Coffee, good or bad? What are some of your thoughts on coffee as a jump start for the day?
I like coffee to start the morning off, but it doesn't. I mean, it goes with everything that has to do with exercise. It all depends. I mean, if you're trying to lose a lot of weight and, you know, you're starting off your day with, you know, a little black coffee, that might help you get going. But if, you know, you're already dealing with high stress levels or, you know, high cortisol or something like that, then, you know, coffee in the morning might not be something for you.
So what do you think about this idea that there's a thermogenic property to it, that it actually will raise your metabolism for a certain amount of time? Aside from the possible other variables in someone's life, do you guys think that there's any merit to this? Any thoughts, pro or con?
I definitely has a thermogenic effect. It, I mean, I can speak from experience. You drink a little coffee and I start to sweat. So it definitely heats or revs the body up, however you want to look at it.
I would say yes, too, because of the caffeine in it. Most thermogenics have that caffeine in it, too.
Right. And caffeine as the main ingredient in coffee in terms of the effect on one's body and metabolism has not necessarily proven to be a detrimental chemical, if you will, but certainly something that impacts mood, impacts the thermogenic relationship, you know, body temperature, metabolism, and what have you. So, interesting. Jamie, any thoughts on that?
I do have a few comments. I agree that if you're going to drink coffee, you should try to drink it black, because most people embellish it with sugar and milk and, you know, to the point to where it's really unhealthy. And as far, you know, it does increase your metabolism. It brings your metabolism up for sure, and it's a great way to start the day. And I love my cup of coffee, too. However, it is a diuretic too. It does kind of steal the water away from your system, mm-hmm. so you have to drink more water to make up for it. And just yesterday, I saw an incredible documentary where not MRI, but they use a SPECT system where they show the effects of caffeine on the brain. And we don't probably want to go into that right now, but it's really not—it's not good in excess. So 3 cups a day, I think, is a little bit high. I think 1 cup you're okay, maybe 2, but I just think, you know, everything in moderation.
Right. And not being a coffee drinker, I'm going to ask this question. Is a typical cup of coffee, as I think about it, in a coffee cup, the equivalent to a standard store-bought Starbucks, Dutch Brothers, that kind of stuff, cup of coffee? I know they have various sizes, but is a cup equivalent to a cup in terms of what we're talking about?
Oh, Dutch Brothers or Starbucks, you're looking at like a bunch of sugar added.
But bunch of sugar, but I'm talking about volume of coffee, you know, and just the
oh, like the amount of caffeine. Yeah, I would say it's about the same.
About the same? So when we talk about 3 cups, we could include something like if you go to Starbucks, that's 1 cup of coffee, traditionally.
Yeah. I think I get what you're saying, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Very good. The next one talks about measuring out your wine. A heavy-handed pour will negate any of the health benefits you get from sipping a glass of wine. 1 serving of wine racks up 125 calories. And many of today's fishbowl-sized glasses hold 3 servings. And it says for the math challenge, that's 375 calories, which is the size of a small meal. So the question is that, you know, what do you guys feel about wine? You know, there's always, we can always pull positives out of almost everything, chocolate, wine, you know, all the good stuff. So is there benefits there that you guys feel that when you talk to your clients and that are drinking, you know, any kind of alcohol, but specifically wine, that pros, cons, do you buy this?
I mean, I think alcohol is a funny thing. It's like alcohol is alcohol. It's a poison to the body, however you look at it. However, with wine, you do have some positive aspects about it. And you know, like Jamie said earlier, it's all in moderation. It's like you don't need to be slamming a glass of wine every night.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to have something every day. It doesn't need to be all the time, you know.
But this particular statement certainly covers more of the caloric, you know, qualities of wine. That 125 calories by itself is not a whole lot. But if you're having, you know, a typical glass of wine, it's probably more like 250 or 300 calories. And if you have 2 glasses of wine, you're talking about 2 small meals, you know, in your liquid. And, you know, that's something not just for wine, but for a lot of you talk about the popularity of fruit drinks right now, smoothies, right? I mean, a typical smoothie could have 650 to 800 calories or more. And you're going, well, geez, that's concentrated fruit. And, yeah, well, it's also concentrated sugar. And, you know, that volume is better taken in by whole fruits. You know, eat an apple, eat an orange, right? And not necessarily grind this down so that your caloric intake doubles or triples.
Well, I'm not familiar with the contents of wine. I don't drink wine. But I would like to know what those calories break down into in forms of carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
sugars, what else is in the wine. Generally,
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Because I love wine, but, you know, everything in moderation again. The, you know, so proteins and carbohydrates have 4 calories per gram, right?
Yeah.
And then
right.
fats have 9
right.
calories per gram, correct?
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
And then, but alcohol has a category all its own, and it has 7 calories per gram.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely zero nutritive. Now, they might provide some antioxidants, but the problem is that the alcohol does convert to sugar, and that's why so many people have trouble sleeping if they drink, you know, at, in the evening,
mm-hmm.
because that process usually happens if you drink in the evening with dinner, say, or even a little bit later, and then that sugar turns, or the alcohol turns into the sugars around 2 or 3 in the morning. Usually, typically, people will wake up and then can't get back to sleep, and so it does interrupt sleep. So, it, you know, I, again, everything in moderation, but what I have really, I've researched this a lot, and if you can eat a really healthy protein, carbohydrate, and fat meal prior to the wine and not drink in excess, then it seems to be okay. So everything in moderation, but those calories are definitely different in alcohol than any other
right.
food.
Right. That's a good point. So calorie isn't necessarily a calorie is a calorie.
Exactly.
Okay, good point. All right, let's try one more before we have to take our first break. Snack on pistachios, food that requires peeling, shelling, or individual unwrapping like pistachios, force you to slow down your eating and may help you consume less overall. Plus, a 1 ounce serving of pistachios provides 6 grams of protein and 3 grams of fiber for just 159 calories. Now, I want to expand this with the panel here to say, you know, nuts for the longest time had a really bad rap. And now, through the magic of advertising and marketing, all of a sudden, all kinds of nuts are great for you, right? I'm still waiting for the hot fudge sundae to be the cure-all for nutrition. But certainly, nuts. So the two questions. What are all of your feelings on consuming nuts, and what kind of nuts would you guys recommend to supplement your diet with?
I personally would recommend almonds. And first and foremost, monounsaturated fat, that's what's got in it. And it's one of the healthiest nuts there are. But I would say do it in the first half of the day, not in the second half of the day.
And why is that?
Because you're, the less carbohydrates and fat your body has in it, the more it'll burn its own body fat for energy. So as you get later into the day, I recommend people do green, high fibrous vegetables with protein. And they will burn more body
and
fat.
And stay away from the
fats from nuts and the carbohydrates that you're getting. Even if they're good carbs, you want to have a low energy source later in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, as far as nuts go, I mean, they're all good for you. The only one that might not be considered a nut, I think, is a peanut. I think, I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly, but I think it's more of like a legume and it's not actually a nut. And it can actually be more toxic to people than beneficial. So if you're going to eat nuts, almonds, cashews, macadamia nuts, walnuts.
I did not know that about the peanut.
I'm going to start naming
peanut
nuts.
Getting another bad rap. So. That's great. Jamie, anything you want to add to this?
I, you know, as long as someone is not allergic to nuts, I think they're wonderful. I love them and eat them daily, a variety of nuts. And basically, it's just a cup, you know, a small handful of nuts is plenty. You know, they say actually, like, to kind of use your thumb as a guide, like what, if you could fill your thumb up with nuts, that would be a serving, like just a couple of each. And I just love them. I think they're great. As far as snacking on pistachios, I, you know, the only kind that I know that I actually break open are at Christmas, and to spend that time breaking them open doesn't stop me from overindulging because they're salty and good. So
yeah.
The salted ones that I peel at Christmas, no, doesn't slow me down at all.
Well, okay, so that's a debunked right there.
I don't like that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and just real quick, if I can add this, it just seems like they're trying to, you know, skip the hard work that needs to be done. It's like, oh, you know, eat your pistachios slowly, you know, don't eat too many calories. Just go work out.
Yeah. That's true. This from the personal trainer. So I expected that. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take our first break here. You are listening to Wellgate Wellness, and we will be right back with talking about the myths and facts that on this new article that just came out with our panel of experts. So stick with us. We'll be back after a few short messages.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. What shall we do
about them? Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR. What shall we do about them?
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Don't let your friends call the 800 number.
Call our daddy and the guys at B&T Satellite
for local dish installation and service.
Hi, folks. This is Doug Tooley. There's no greater friend than our veterans. At B&T Satellite, we would like to honor their sacrifice by offering a special deal for vets with dish. But we need your help. Here's how it works. Don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474 and let us know about your friend that is a veteran. And when they sign up for DISH, you will get $100 off your service, and one of our honored veterans will also receive $100 off of their bill. We are a local authorized DISH dealer, a veteran-owned business. We live here, we work here, and we want to honor our local veterans with this special offer. That's 241-DISH. For more information, please call us at 241-3474. Check us out online at btsatellite.com, like us at Facebook at BT Satellite, or check out our Yelp reviews.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Wellgate Wellness, and today we're talking with our panel of experts about a new article that came out, How to Lose Weight Forever. And these are little tidbits that some are facts, and some we are questioning as potential myths, just statements that will help you lose weight and keep it off. And so we are speaking with Jamie Hanna, Aaron Hunter, and Zeb Young from Wellgate, and Jamie as a local fitness expert who has been getting a lot of good pub on some of the things she's doing, especially with this Functional Aging Institute that she's working with now. So we are privileged to have all of you. You know, one of the things that we always like to talk about on the show is Bob's progress. Bob is producer, engineer, does it all. And Bob, how are you this morning?
Very, very good. Thank you.
Thanks. So bring us up to date. How are things going with you?
Things are going very, very well. In fact, I'm so happy with how I've done down there. Wellgate, I have lured my wife to the facility
That's
to take
right.
part in the pool, and she is just her. She was having some back problems and was actually going through some physical therapy, and I believe that the therapist is someone who's going to be working with you,
right,
folks.
Right.
Yeah. So she's been working out in the saltwater pool, and she has been. First of all, when she walked into place, she says, "I've never seen a health club like this." You know, she's used to the ordinary, very, you know, where you kind of go in and hold your nose kind of health club, you know.
Right.
She was extremely impressed with the atmosphere of the place, mm-hmm. the looks, the attention to detail that Wellgate puts out, and she is just very happy there in the pool with the trainer, whose name I couldn't
Kathleen.
Call. Kathleen, yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, she's very impressed by Kathleen.
Yes.
And she's happy there, too. So we're kind of a Wellgate family now.
That's fantastic. And it's always great to see families coming in. There's this there's this camaraderie, and certainly there's an accountability that goes with that. But Bob didn't need that. He has been coming in religiously, and it shows. I mean, every day he looks svelter and faster, and he's beating up on the machines even more than usual. So we are thrilled to have him and your wife now. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, one of the things we'll be doing after the first of the year is attending the Consumer Electronics Show, and there's a whole section on fitness mm-hmm. products that has been growing every year. And for anybody who's never heard of Consumer Electronics Show, take the entire population of Redding, California, and the outlying areas, and move it to Las Vegas for a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And the convention center is huge, and you walk everywhere. So a couple of years ago when we went, we darn near collapsed. So this year we're going to be in a lot better shape, and we'll be looking at a lot of fitness trends having to do with technological
stuff. So you've got to be in shape to go to this thing.
Absolutely. It's a walk fest.
Yeah.
Good shoes.
Wow. Well, excellent. That's fantastic. The other thing we wanted to mention is that we just recently got some tremendous exposure. Wellgate, along with Boheme Spa and our friends over at Woody's Brewery, spent some time cleaning up under the Eureka Way overpass, which is kind of a notorious transient highway through that allows folks getting back and forth from downtown. And it was just a trash fest. I mean, we knew it was bad, but we didn't realize just how bad it was. We filled probably 45 bags, and I'm talking about the large industrial garbage bags full of stuff. Unfortunately, you found things that we can't mention on the air, but we also saw needles and butane and all kinds of things that obviously a lot of drug paraphernalia. And this was the brainchild of Woody's Brewery, who we can't thank enough. This is the second time that they've done this cleanup effort, but there were over 30 people out behind by the railroad tracks there cleaning up. And for 2 hours, these 30 people just, bore the warm weather, and in our little Redding utility vests that we received, out there cleaning up. And I just can't thank those folks enough. We got some media coverage on that, which, again, just our idea was to highlight the ongoing issue here downtown, that we want to clean up our downtown. We want to take back our downtown. Reading is such a beautiful place to live that when you see the trash and the drugs and the crime that's happening here, especially in this downtown area, it just breaks your heart. Reading has been such a generous and caring community that my belief is that that is being taken advantage of a bit by some of these folks, and as a result, we see the crime rate going up. And for small businesses, it's tough enough to, you know, build a business and be successful. But when you're constantly, you know, putting money out for security, when you're constantly looking out for the safety of your employees and your customers, it becomes even more challenging. And so to have that kind of support from the community when we did this cleanup, and it'll be an ongoing thing, we really encourage everybody, listeners far and wide, to get involved, do something, make a statement. And I couldn't be more proud of our people as well as the businesses that pitched in and the community response. So a big thank you from us. But this is something that we'll continue to do for as long as we need to do it, which is hopefully not too long. And we encourage our city officials to hear this message as well, that if we want to continue to keep Reading as a thriving economic community, we have to invest in making our streets safe for everybody. So anyway, a big thank you there. So, all right, let's get back to our topic here. We are going on to a very interesting and somewhat related to our wine topic: beware other booze-related calories. So a single serving of beer, wine, or spirits clocks in at about 125 calories, and it's obvious that those calories can add up if you overindulge. Thing is, it doesn't end there. Ever notice during a night of drinking a plate of chicken wings or nachos suddenly appears in front of you? A recent study published in Obesity helps explain why. Researchers found that alcohol makes people's brains more sensitive to the smell of food, leading them to eat more. Okay, panel, what do you think about that? Is that a myth, a fact? What are your thoughts?
Sure, why not? Drink a beer, you want some french fries.
How come women keep being mentioned in here?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, and I don't want to step on that landmine at all. So we're just gonna say everybody, because I think it does hold true for men and women in a lot of these cases. But so, is this a case of the munchies as we drink more?
I think so. I used to happen to me when I drank before. So,
all right. So no big feelings either way. All right.
Yes.
See,
alcohol makes us hungry. Yeah. Alcohol makes, you know, all kinds of bad decisions happen if you eat in excess. Let's just for men and for women.
All right. Well, that's a topic that could take a whole show right there.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll move on from that. All right. Next one is watch out for added sugar. Well, if you've listened to this show at all, you've heard me talk about that sugar is the enemy. But the fact is that you're probably eating more sugar than you realize. The average person takes in 22 teaspoons of sugar a day, and that's more than three times the amount suggested by the American Heart Association. The problem is that just reading the label is not necessarily telling you all the sugars that are in your product. The white stuff, as they say, is added to foods that don't even taste sweet, such as breads, condiments, and sauces. So read the food labels carefully. Ingredients are listed in order of how much is in the food. If sugar is near the top, put it back on the shelf. So they won't necessarily, I mean, they'll tell you how many grams of sugar are in an average serving, but if you read the label of all the ingredients and sugar says is number one, that means there's a lot of sugar in there. That's not necessarily just the white sugar that we all think about, but other forms of sugar. So I guess my question to the panel is, what do you think of this? What do you think of sugar in general, but sugar is related to keeping weight off?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, sugar is the main problem. It's why we're, you know, seeing so many, you know, people with weight issues, because they do put it in everything, and sugar just turns right into fat once you eat it. So, you know, we're being overloaded with, you know, our breads, our, you know, I said sauces, even our meats. You know, you go to McDonald's, their patties have sugar in them. It's just, you know, it's everywhere. So you have to, really be diligent and keep the sugar out of your diet.
Jamie, as somebody with a strong nutrition background, I would imagine you have an opinion on this.
I don't even know where to start with it. It's just so bad, and he's right. It is in everything. You can't even believe, I mean, your spaghetti sauce, you should see from one brand to another how much sugar is added. So you don't even realize, and the reasons for, you know, the company's putting more sugar into each of our foods because, you know, it obviously it makes us want more, so we're going to buy more. So there's a political agenda that's behind it, which we could talk about that for hours as well.
But, oh, yes.
But, you know, one of the biggest problems is diabetes, you know, diabetes 2, which was practically unheard of 100 years ago. Now it's so prevalent in our society, and so many people are pre-diabetic. And once you get that sugar started into your system and you get addicted to it, it just creates a host of problems. So sugar is a huge problem. I think on average people actually eat more than 22 teaspoons a day, mm-hmm. because I think there's probably 22 teaspoons in one of the Starbucks drinks that has all the caramel and additives. So anyway, yeah, sugar is a huge problem.
Well, and also, I mean, you think about the other things that don't necessarily have the word sugar in it, high fructose corn syrup, molasses, sucrose, anything ending in an ose, O-S-E, is something that, like sugar, you want to probably stay away from. Brown rice syrup, honey, and maple syrup, all the things that are sneaky names for sugar. So, yeah, you can be good and look at the label and say, well, I'm going to stay away from sugar altogether, but you're going to get some sugar in your diet anyway. Like, as Jamie said, it's in everything. So you have to really be careful. But I guess to start with, is I would say the panel is you know, stay away from the stuff that you can read and you can see. I mean, that's the first step.
Well, if you stay away from processed foods, you'll avoid any of the added sugar and stuff. If you're eating whole foods, you know, you don't have anything to worry about there. If you're cooking your meals, and you'll be fine.
I agree. And sugar in excess messes with your hormones. And, you know, we have leptin, the hormone that tells us that we're full, and we have ghrelin, the hormone that tells us that we're hungry. And the more sugar you eat, the opposite happens with both of those. You feel hungry when you're not, and you don't feel full when you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, a little awesome honey or awesome pure maple syrup on, you know, something in small amounts here and there, great. But all this added sugar is, I mean, it's wreaking havoc on our health.
So what do you think about artificial sweeteners then, you know?
Awful.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah. So as a substitute, no?
No. And they also trick your brain chemistry into thinking that it's sweet, so it actually can still make you fat. It's crazy the way the human body works, but it really, you think you're getting zero calories, but your brain is telling you that it's sweet, and it actually can, you can still produce fat cells.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's kind of scary in and of itself, right?
Yeah. Food made in the lab, avoid that.
Yep. So stay away from the middle aisles, as they say.
If it grows, eat it. If it doesn't,
don't.
Research it.
Yeah.
All right, let's change gears for a second here. Here's one that really kind of made me scratch my head. Swap white bread for wheat. Better yet, replace all refined grains with whole grains. People who eat a lot of whole grains are more likely to keep their weight down than those who eat refined grains. In one study, women whose diets contain most wheat germ, brown rice, dark bread, and popcorn had a 49% lower risk of major weight gain over time. So I guess my first question is to the panelists, is that myth or fact? I mean, do you believe that, or do you have strong feelings one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on what kind of wheat bread you're getting. You know, if I go get, you know, your normal GMO-laden wheat bread, you know, that's not going to be any better. So you want to, again, you just need to make sure that you're buying whole foods, organic foods, things that aren't overly processed.
Okay. Jamie?
I agree with that 100%. That's such a great point to bring up, that I was going to say, yes, whole wheat bread, but absolutely you have to still read the label to see what is in it. And sprouted whole wheat bread is really beneficial because it has the live enzymes in it as well,
mm-hmm.
which is really great for digestion. and you know, white bread. Now I, you know, because I am a, I do love, love, love my sourdough French bread with spaghetti or lasagna once in a while.
I love my sourdough too.
Only, so of course I'll allow that. But yes, I just white bread has, you know, usually it's bleached flour, which is the bleaching process is. In and of itself, what chemicals are we exposing ourselves to there?
Jamie, we got I got to interrupt. We're up against the break, so we'll continue this topic. So you listen to Wellgate Wellness. We will be back after a few short messages and keep up this impassioned discussion. Stay with us.
On Saturday, January 21st at 10 a.m., Orchard Nutrition Center, in conjunction with Reading Holistic Health Specialists, presents the first in a series of free seminars at the Orchard Nutrition Center event room, as well as via live webcast on Facebook and live stream. This month's topic is stress and digestive health. Local area health and nutrition experts Dr. June Stevens, certified nutritional consultant Dominic Danino, and holistic health specialist Sherry Davis will show you the true impact chronic stress plays on your overall digestive health, as well as natural therapies you can implement in your daily lives through nutrition and lifestyle as a way to improve the overall quality of health of you and your family. You can watch online from your computer, tablet, or smartphone and post questions to the speakers in the interactive chat room. Limited reserve facility seating is available. For more information, visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook or their website at orchardnutrition.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Reading Cultural Cruise is just around the corner. On Friday, January 27th, visit places like Turtle Bay Exploration Park, Reading City Hall, Shasta Historical Society, and Old City Hall to see a wide array of art for free. Visit venues, collect stamps on your cruise map, and be entered in the Cultural Cruise drawing with prizes from each venue. Plus, select venues will host artists demonstrating their skills live on Saturday, January 28th. Find Reading Cultural Cruise on Facebook for the cruise map and for more information. And we'll see you at the cruise.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Reading, California.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
All right, thanks for staying with us on this Saturday. We are back. You're listening to Wellgate Wellness. I am Rich Novelli, your host, and we're here with Zeb Young, Aaron Hunter, and Jamie Hanna, who is graciously dropped a lot of what she had to do today to join us to talk about some of these myths or facts that came out in this new study. And on this last segment, there's 50 or 60 of these statements. So we've just kind of picked the ones that we felt might be a little bit interesting to most folks here in town, things that people can connect with in terms of their typical nutrition habits. So the next one here I want to cover is don't skimp on spinach. So spinach and other dark leafy greens are rich in magnesium, which regulates more than 300 functions in the body. A 2013 study revealed that people who consumed more magnesium had lower blood sugar and insulin levels, which play a role in weight. So certainly lower insulin and blood sugar levels is a good thing. I mean, Jamie was talking about type 2 diabetes and the role that insulin plays in blood sugar regulation, fat, cortisol levels, I mean, all of that. So what do you guys think of this? That makes sense? Should we all be doing our Popeye imitation and eating more spinach?
Popeye had it right, yeah. Spinach is good. Dark leafy greens are extremely good for you. There's like a lot of phytochemicals or something along those lines in them.
So how should I be taking this stuff in? We're talking about salads, best way, unprocessed. I mean, can we take spinach from the can? Is there a way to look at this as a better or worse situation?
The fresher, the better with all vegetables. So if you can get it fresh and put it in a salad without cooking it, then your best.
And that's where you're going to get the most benefit?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Most things when you cook them, especially vegetables, you are going to lose some of the nutrients in them. You lose, I think, the least amount when you boil things. So you do lose stuff when you cook it.
I am not a huge vegetable guy, as my friends and family will tell you. I know, really? But stuff like salads, I will eat. I mean, it's fresh. It's, cool. I mean, maybe it's a texture thing. I don't know. But loading up with carrots and a spinach salad and tomatoes and, good stuff, that I can eat all day. So, find ways that, you enjoy your veggies, but especially these dark leafy greens, and make that a habit at least once a day to inject into your nutrition. All right, the next one, fill up on fish. The omega-3 fatty acids in salmon, tuna, herring, and other fish may help amp up your body's fat-burning power. These heart-healthy fats balance blood sugar and reduce inflammation, which helps regulate metabolism. All right, feelings on fish.
Eat it. It's good for you.
Any kinds of fish to stay away from? How about shellfish? Yeah, your clams, your oysters, crabs, shrimp. I've read how high in protein, very low in fat that shellfish is. With certain kinds of crab, obviously you've got the body meat, which has a lot of the fat surrounding it. But any feelings on that in general? I mean, a lot of people like their shrimp. You can have shrimp with everything. Feelings one way or the other?
No, I mean,
I love shrimp.
Love shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, with any kind of meat, you got to make sure that what the animal is eating is healthy. I mean, if you're eating some shrimp that are right out the the end of a some tube spitting out garbage from a factory, they're eating that up. You don't want those shrimp. Just like with your beef, you don't want to eat antibiotic ridden beef. You want to make sure that it's grass fed and.
So it's a little easier to find out on your beef what the cow's been eating than ask the shrimp. Shrimp aren't giving that up very easily.
No.
Jake? I agree. And tuna is supposedly very, very high in mercury, so you have to watch out for that as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, farm-raised salmon, I know that there have been a lot of studies out now with the problems with farm-raised fish. That's becoming more and more prevalent, although I guess a lot of the farming techniques have improved. taking more ocean farming where it's in a more natural environment, that these animals can grow up in a healthier environment. But I know that salmon in particular was having a lot of problems on the farm-raised, nutrient-wise, a lot of breakdown of the benefits of that particular type of fish. Any thoughts, feelings one way or the other, or fish is fish?
Well, I mean, nature has done it right. So it's been doing it right for a long time, and we keep trying to come in and, oh, we can do it better, and look what happens. So each is stuff natural. You know, things that are farm-raised or something like that, you're not going to get what, you know, nature has intended for those fish to grow up and be. It's just not the same.
Again, growing up where the word fat and fatty acids and fatty anything was really a no-no, there have been a lot of new discoveries, new science that says that, you know, you've got to have good fats in your diet. So fish fats, omega-3s, would fall into that category?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, your brain is mostly fat.
And the omega-3s, it is correct in the article that it states that it does help with inflammation, and it's heart healthy. And, you know, we used to think the world was flat, too. So, yeah, listen to science.
So calling someone a fathead is not necessarily a bad thing.
The flat earthers is actually making its head again.
Yeah,
anyone's
right.
Gone to that.
All right, here's another one I wanted to talk about. So spice up your meals. I can't even pronounce it. Capsaicin. Thank you, Bob. Capsaicin, the compound in chili peppers that makes them hot, may speed up your metabolism. According to a study in Physiology and Behavior, researchers say capsaicin activates your sympathetic nervous system in that the effects on metabolism can last for more than 4 hours after eating. So I'm not I can't do spicy. I mean, it tastes good for about the first 2.5 seconds, and then I just go ballistic. But for those of us that are eating spicy food, myth or fact? Any feelings?
Well, it helps to know that capsaicin is the active ingredient in pepper spray.
So we're helping the metabolism of criminals as we spray them. Good to know.
Well, as far as like spices in your food, I read an article recently, or someone had given this to me, and it was talking about muscle cramps. And it was a neuroscientist or something, and they started, you know, if you got a cramp, they'd kind of get this concoction of different spices. I think it had red peppers in it and, you know, some other spicy stuff. And they were using that to help alleviate cramps, and it worked. So there must be something in spices that affects the, like it was saying here, the sympathetic nervous system. So, you know, if a cramp is basically something to do with the nerves and those spices are affecting the nerves in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. What I find interesting in a lot of these statements is that they come back to the effect that these foods or ingredients have on one's metabolism. Now, we all know that exercise increases the metabolism, you know, very well, but that the long-term ways to increase metabolism is mainly found in your nutrition, that you can increase your metabolic rate, your metabolic threshold, which is basically talking about how many calories you're burning throughout the day through a smart nutrition program. So it's interesting that these are all about, geez, little benefits, because, you know, we may have you in the club for an hour or 2 hours a day, but then the other 22 hours a day, what are you doing? And these little tidbits talk about how to raise the metabolism, which is an important feature. If you're raising the metabolism anywhere from 10 to 20 calories per hour over 22 hours, and then over a month, over a year, that's a lot of calories.
Yes, sir.
And that really goes a long way to helping not only one keep weight off, but actually dropping weight, if that's in fact what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what I found interesting in all this stuff, is that how can we raise the metabolism? We know that sitting is the enemy. We know that being stationary is the enemy, blah, 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 blah. But that nutrition plays a very large role in helping your body process food into energy and making your body a fat-burning machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at in this country, is we need to become better fat-burning machines, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, something to think about is that current research is showing that your body replaces its cells almost every year. So you have a whole new set of cells practically every year. So if you're not feeding your body whole organic foods, if you're not feeding your body fruits and vegetables, if you're giving it crap, you're going to have crappy cells, you're going to have a problem, you're going to get overweight, you're going to get to a place you don't want to be. And it's just simple. Eat healthy.
Yeah, right.
And that can accelerate the aging process for sure. And, you know, the bottom line is calories in, calories out. If you're going to eat it, you're either going to burn it or you're going to store it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. It just doesn't dissipate into the atmosphere. It goes someplace.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right. And this next one kind of talks about, again, metabolism. Early morning exercise stokes your metabolism and helps you burn more calories for the rest of the day. In fact, if you can get in 45 minutes, the Appalachian State University research shows that you could experience a metabolic spike that torches an additional 190 calories over the rest of your day. Try a circuit of basics like jumping jacks, squats, and push-ups. So for, as we're talking about, exercise truly is, you know, the high-octane fuel that can get your metabolism really cranked up. But this study suggests that if you work out earlier in the morning, that you get all-day benefits from this. 190 calories is an awful lot to jack up your caloric burn throughout a day. And if you multiply that, you know, by 30 days, you're talking about, you know, close to 6,000 calories. And if 3,500 calories is a pound, you know, there could be a couple of pounds there just by changing when you work out. So is that a myth or a fact?
Yeah, I would say anytime you exercise, you're going to rev up your metabolism. If you exercise, you know, and then go right to sleep, your metabolism, you're still going to be burning while you're sleeping. So yeah, you can apply the same thing to the morning. You'll have a better time of sleeping in the evening because you won't be all revved up if you work out and, you know, later on. So yeah, no, without a doubt, that seems totally fine with me.
So this is talking about, though, specifically early morning.
Early morning,
to start that you're going to burn more throughout the day.
Well, because, yeah, you'll be moving throughout the day still, hopefully. You're not just going to go and sit down, and your body is still recovering and recouping from the exercise.
Right.
And another advantage to working out in the morning is that if you wait until the evening, many times you won't do it at
yes,
all.
Yes, right.
But I tell my clients to, you know, any activity is better than none. So if it comes down to the only time they can exercise is in the evening, then by all means, of course, you know, exercise when you can. But it is really nice for all those reasons that he just mentioned to get her done in the morning.
Another thing, too, is your testosterone levels are higher in the morning. So that compounding exercise with that really does help, and you also have less in your body from what you've eaten throughout the day for energy. So, mm-hmm. you know, your body fat is a good source of energy during a morning workout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been led to believe that early morning workout has a lot of small additional benefits in addition to raising your metabolism for longer throughout the day, because, as Aaron says, you are active throughout the day. But that these other things with regard to the last time you ate, using fat for energy also. Now, I mean, as Jamie said, sometimes it's just a matter of, okay, we got to get our people going, right? I know that, you know, working out in the evening, anywhere past 7 o'clock at night, I can't get to sleep for the longest time because, again, your body's amped up and your metabolism's going. But these little changes, you know, all make a pretty big difference in the way that we can control our body's weight, the way that we can burn energy, and create a much more efficient machine that we hopefully are living in here for 80 or 90 years. So a lot of good things to think about here. We're bumping up the end of our time today. So I just want to give each of you a real quick second. Anything else that you want to cover here? Jamie, anything that you're involved with right now that we want to know about and tell the folks about?
Oh, well, I am doing a little nutrition seminar with two friends. We're calling ourselves the Three Amigas. I have just Sadie Roy, who is an awesome chef, Margaret Kennedy, who works for Pampered Chef, and then me, who is no chef at all.
And where and when is that?
But we're going to be throwing together a couple of little programs for people that are interested in having, you know, a few little quick lessons for easy after-workout snacks and snacks for kids in the car and
cool. Twitter. And how can they reach you real quick?
They can reach me at jamiesfitforlife.com. It's J-A-M-I-S-F-I-T-F-O-R-L-I-F-E Dot com.
All right, perfect. Well, we bumped up against it again. I think we covered a few more topics this time around. Thank you all. So we'll probably keep this going. Great panel, great work. Come and visit us at Wellgate Sports Club at 1740 Eureka Way. Meet Zeb and meet Aaron. They're great people and would love to help you out. Thanks again for listening today. Have a great Saturday, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump opened his first full day in office by attending a prayer service at the Washington National Cathedral. The singing there of "How Great Thou Art." For years, the cathedral has hosted a prayer service for the new president. A massive crowd of anti-Trump protesters, meanwhile, mostly women, descended on Washington the day after the inauguration.
One day after Trump was sworn in as president, hundreds of thousands of people flooded the nation's capital for the Women's March on Washington. With pink hats and signs denouncing the new president and his policies, demonstrators vowed to challenge Trump's agenda. Here in D.C., the subways and streets were clogged with visitors making their way to the march from the National Mall to the Ellipse near the White House. Greg Clug.